smile and trembled with fear at your frown. In the old churchyard, in the valley fenfold, in a corner obscure and alone, they have fitted a slab of granite so gray and sweet Alice lies under the stone. They have fitted a slab of granite so gray and sweet Alice lies
Good evening, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Here I am, your host, Mac, with another hour of records from the acoustic era. And tonight, my returning guest is Merle Sprinzen, and tonight we're doing a All Little Wonder show. So welcome back, Merle.
Thank you so much.
This is your fourth appearance on the show,
right? Fourth show.
I know. It's been a while since you've been here.
I think 5 years, surprisingly.
Wow. I'm sure you've discovered a lot about Little Wonders within that time.
We certainly have. In fact, I think that's the motivation for returning. Lots of surprises.
Fantastic. Well, we started off there with the first Little Wonder record ever released, yes?
Right. Number one, Ben Bolt. It was actually recorded as the prototype for Little Wonder Records that sold the distributor on the idea of actually marketing the records. So it was done as an experiment. It was the first test record.
So they actually went in with that actual record pressed and said, here's our idea.
Right.
We're going to sell this. So what were Little Wonder Records?
Little Wonder Records are 5.5 inches. And they came out at a time when the recorded music industry was essentially a monopoly controlled by Columbia, Victor, and Edison. The monopoly caused recorded music to cost roughly 75 cents to a dollar a record, which really put it out of the capability of most regular people to afford it. So if you were just the average American, the only music you were able to listen to was live performance. Unless you happened to be around someone who had a phonograph and some records, it was either being played in your house or you would go to live concerts. So when Little Wonder Records came out at 10 cents, it really revolutionized popular recorded music by making it available to regular people. And millions and millions and millions and millions of those records were sold in the 9 years that the label existed.
Now, how did they get around the whole patent situation? Because I know that Little Wonder had, Victor and Columbia and Edison had sort of a consortium of control over the patents. How did they get around it?
Well, that was really the mystery that perplexed collectors all the way up until I started doing the research. So people surmised that Columbia was behind them, but no one knew for sure. I've discovered some court papers, which we can talk about, you know, why these things were even in the court. But I discovered some court papers that really proved kind of once and for all that Columbia was, in fact, behind the manufacture of these records, but kept it a really big secret.
Okay. So when Victor, let's not even get into court cases because that's too much information. Let's just enjoy some music and say this is a show in general about Little Wonder Records. Also, it's a show also coming about as the newest edition of your book, Little Wonder Records and Bubble Books, has come out, an illustrated history and discography done by you, Merle Sprinzen, along with Tim Brooks.
Right. There was a discography produced in 1999. Tim was the editor of that book, and as a result of all of the information that I'd collected since that time, as well as the collection of actual recordings that I amassed, we were able to significantly expand on the information that was available in that time period. And so we've just come out, in fact, in May with the updated discography by Mainspring Press.
Well, it looks great. It's available at Mainspring Press. Also, you have a website, littlewonderrecords.com.
Right. And which is where you can see many more illustrations than we were able to put into the book, and they're in color on the website.
All right. Well, let's hear some more records. So what are we going to hear next?
Well, I thought what we'd do in this show, unlike the other shows, is rather than do a kind of survey of all the different kinds of things that are on Little Wonder Records, what we'd focus on in this show are the performers. And so we began with Henry Burr doing Ben Bolt, and now we're doing Al Jolson, which is perhaps the most famous of the Little Wonder Records, singing Back to the Carolina You Love.
All right, let's hear it. These records are short.
Yes, they are short.
They go by quick.
And that's actually one of the problems for people who are serious collectors of vintage music, is that the tunes that show up on Little Wonder Records are shorter. They've been shortened. There's usually a verse and a chorus, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
That's all you got time for in a minute and a half.
So they were cheap. You were buying less shellac.
Indeed you were. But when you couldn't afford anything else, getting what you got, so a minute and a half instead of 2 minutes, was an extraordinary feat.
Right, right. Well, I know I've come across Little Wonders time and time again, but they're not that common. I mean, when I'm looking through boxes of records, I'm seeing tons of Victors, tons of Columbias, but not a lot of Little Wonders often.
No, and I think part of it is because they couldn't be stored along with regular records because their size meant they needed to be kept separately. They also weren't sold in sleeves. And so...
Oh, not at all?
Not at all.
Oh.
And so the records are often pretty well beat up at the point at which they're found now.
Right.
And mostly people find them in people's attics rather than sold through... antique stores. And for me, at any rate, the biggest place where I find them is on eBay these days. Or collectors who find them know that I collect them and then call me.
All right. Well, what we're doing tonight is a little different from my regular show. I'm usually doing sets of music and then we talk about them. But we're just doing one at a time here. So let's try streaming through a few records. So what are we going to hear next?
So the next one is by the Van Epps Banjo Orchestra, we think. And I should say that in all of these instances, the artist attribution is always as good as our ears can do it, because there's no artist attribution on most of Little Wonder Records, and we don't have files from the company. So this is Van Epps playing Foxy Grandpa, Little Wonder number 157.
All right, let's hear it. The thing is, there was only a limited number of banjo players, I find, from that period. You really have Van Epps, Wes Ossman. There's a guy, Bacon, who's doing some banjo records. But those were mostly it. There's a few occasional other ones, but mostly it was those guys doing their thing. So, you know, chances are it's Van Epps Banjo Orchestra.
And the other hint is that in all instances that we have found, all of the performers were Columbia artists. So that immediately cuts out a whole other group of potential candidates.
Right, right. So we were tweaking the speed a little bit there because you're saying that mostly these are a little faster.
Little Wonders recorded. Sort of recorded around 80, 81.
Right.
But again, it's all by ear.
Right, because Columbias were 80s.
Right.
They weren't 78s.
Right.
Right.
But different, essentially different speeds through the 9 years. So it's really what your ear thinks is right at
yeah,
this point.
Yeah. Well, I kind of use the stroboscope as a general guide, and then I listen to their voice and say, I think he's supposed to sound more like this, and adjust it based on that.
Right.
All right. What's next?
So next up is Maurice Burkhart singing He Owes Me $97, which you'll recognize as the tune is Cohen Owes Me $97.
Right.
Little Wonder number 164.
Soon the doctor came around and said, there's no use crying, the man is dying, he can't live very long. Then my son here to my side, say, hoy, the old man say, I've got something to tell him before I pass away. Soon his son was sitting by his bed, but the matter, Papa dear, he said, the old man said, my son, before my days are done, I want you to know. Cohen owes me $97, and it's up to you to see that Cohen pays. I sold a lot of goods to Rosenstein and Son, and I owe you for 90 days. Levi brothers don't get any credit. They owe me for 100 yards of lace. If you promise me, my son, to collect from everyone, I can die with a smile upon my face.
Oh, yeah. As long as someone collects that $97 from Cohen, I can die with a smile on my face. Very good. Very nice.
And now, keeping in the Yiddish theme, the next artist will be Rhoda Bernard singing Gutmann is a Hootmann Now, Little Wonder number 367.
Okay, I'm changing the needle.
Send me dress, but he killed me, death and down. One day, both he pulled his
Next up, we'll be moving to the Hawaiian Isles, this time with a performance by Louise and Ferrer. And excuse me as I completely butcher the name of this. It's Waialana Waltz Medley, Little Wonder Number 519.
A little bit of wow and flutter on that one.
Yeah, sounded that way. Perhaps it's slightly warped a little. But in any event.
I remember when you did a show once, one of your shows, the tone arm from the Victrola was just not, the little records were so small it wouldn't let them spin.
Right, so we had to find paper clips to kind of weigh the thing down.
Yeah, we managed. Okay, what's next?
Next, we have probably one of the strangest performers, from my point of view, on Little Wonder, Gene Green, singing the song that he made famous, King of the Bungalows.
I just received a table dispatch from my ancestral home. It tells me I'm the great Gazoo, successor to the throne. My throne will be a bungalow, away up in the trees, where I'll be the ruling monarch over all. My slaves will be gorillas, apes, monks, and chimpanzees, who will be ever ready at my call. I would be a dee, the king of Doogaloo-ga-doo-ga-doo-ga-doo-ga-hi, a bungalooga-doo-ga-doo. When the ragga died, the maggie died, the maggie died, on the rock-a-dog-a-dog-a-rock-a-dog-a-dog-a-dog. When on the folk-a-dog, I'll take the stag-a-rag-a-dad, then I'll be the dee, the maggie died, the maggie died, I'll be the Doogaloo-ga-doo-ga-doo-ga-doo-ga-doo-ga-brand, the king of the bungalooga-doo-ga-doo-ga-doo. I will the bee, the king of Doo, embowing out a doodle-a-doodle-a-ding, embowing out a doodle-a-doodle-a-doodle-a-doodle. Eat the soft a dinner, and then the looser, add a spicer, enter through the looser, jump out a spicer, oh a smile, give me a piece of fire, sing of the bungalow, the looser, doo doo.
Some of the earliest recorded jazz appeared on Little Wonder Records, particularly in the form of Wilbur Sweatman's group. And so there are a number of Little Wonders that are Sweatman's, and there are some that are recorded on Little Wonder and nowhere else. This one is Regretful Blues, a foxtrot. Thank you. The next performer we're going to hear are the Farber sisters, and this is kind of a typical story of how artists on Little Wonders were identified. There is a person who collects Farber sister records and is kind of an authority on the Farber sisters. He was able to identify this record and another as being performed by the Farber sisters because of his familiarity with their sound. So this is the Farber sisters singing doing a character duet of How'd You Like to Be My Daddy? More early jazz, this next one by the Yerkes Jazzarimba Orchestra.
Is that this one?
That tune, by the way, was Rainy Day Blues, I suppose a fitting tribute to our weather of the past few days, if not weeks. Mm-hmm. Next up is Billy Murray.
Sometimes you try to love a girl and she says no to you. It makes you feel so blue, but there's nothing you can do. You take her for an auto ride and start that money talk. But if she doesn't like it, she gets out and starts to walk. They fooled us ever since the world began. But listen, boys, I've got a little plan. Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air. You can make them hug and squeeze you through. For if they don't obey, you won't come down until they do. Wait till you get them up in the clouds, boys. There won't be anyone to watch you there. You can loop the loop till she can hardly get her breath. It isn't hard to reason with a girl who's scared to death. So wait till you get them up in the air, boys. up, 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 way up in the air. Wait till you get them up in the car, but there won't be anyone to watch you there. When you get her way up high, have all the fun you can. There never was a girl who saw that path or any man. So wait till you get them up in the air, boy. Up, 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 way up in the air.
So we're in 1920 now. 1920 now. We began with number one around 1914. We're now at 1920. Obviously a war song. We're now getting to Louisiana 5 playing Hello, Hello.
Wow, Merle, this show is keeping me on my toes.
Yeah, it's funny when records only last for a minute and a half. You can just imagine dancing to this stuff. You put
I'm not sweating just because of the records. It's because the air conditioning is broke at WFMU right now, typically. But man, by the time I'm entering this record into the playlists, and just when I'm done, it's time to get up and put the next one on. I don't think I could do a show like this by myself.
Well, and if you put yourself into the time period, people would put these on the phonograph, dance for a minute, and then go put the next record on. But that was considered a progress. I mean, in the same way that we now get annoyed if we have to, move a CD or change it, and the changer somehow isn't
CDs
working
anymore. I've got 8 months of music on my iTunes list. And I can start it, and it would just keep on going.
But when we started, I mean, and this very well dates me, and you had LPs, you had to stand up after half an hour and turn it over. That was
right.
Then.
Unless you had the stacking thing where it would
exactly.
Drop one and then the other.
Exactly.
Right,
so this
right.
Is a minute and a half. We in some ways, have no right to complain.
Right. You're absolutely right. Well, this is the Antique Phonograph Music Program. I'm your host, Mac, and tonight my guest is Merle Sprinzen, and we're doing a show of Little Wonder Records. And we should also talk about their other part of them, the kids' records, the Bubble Books, and the HarperCollins. What were they called, HarperCollins?
Harper Brothers.
Harper Brothers.
Bubble Books.
Right, right. A lot of great kiddie music from the right. Period that he did.
The essentially fairy tale music, fables music, little stories, little vignettes. Bubble Books were the very first series of books and records marketed to children and were recognized as such by the Library of Congress in the last 5 years or so. And they told the story of a little boy, a lonely little boy, who would blow his magic pipe and bubble would appear, and there'd be characters in the bubbles that would come and play with him.
Nice.
And at a certain point in the course of the story, the character would sing. The words were on the back of the page, and so you could put the record on and then sing along with the record.
Didn't they also have cards that they would give with them also sometimes?
Those were talking, I think, And I'm not a children's records expert. I think those are called talking book records.
Or they were maybe the kiddie records.
Or kiddie records. That's right, not right. Bubble Books.
But they also Bubble Books also had some nice cutout toys that you could play with along with your records, too.
That's right. That's right. There was that particular artifact is extremely hard to find, of course, because kids would cut them up.
Right.
But I was able to find a whole one of those, and they sit on top of the spindle of the record player and move around as the record plays on the player.
There you go. Well, let's continue with this marathon of Little Wonder Records. So what are we going to do next?
Next, we're going to listen to Sam Lannon's Roseland Orchestra performing Oh by Jingo. Oh, and I should say that the last tune that we played was called Hello, Hello.
And then we'll talk about, say what it was.
When the mind had some fine photographs he took, he kept them in a book, but he let me have a look, and they were scenes of some queens down in Borneo. First I glanced and I danced and I hollered, oh, I wish that I'd been born in Borneo. If half those photographs are really sore, say, can you picture me beneath a pepper tree? I'd be so peppery among those wild women that very little clothing worn in all. And those high shoes that hurt your cardio. You should have seen the way for Sunday school. You wouldn't think that they just came back from a swimming pool. I've been wasting half my life, I know. Oh, I wish that I'd been born in Borneo.
It's obviously titled I Wish That I'd Been Born in Borneo, with, and the performer is in some ways completely unmistakable as Frank Crummett.
Right. I've had I had a collector do a remote show on all Frank Crummett records. And, yeah, sometimes you need those people to identify the songs. You told me an interesting story before about how some of these records were identified. Tell us about that.
Well, what we did for the current version of the discography is – as best we can, do A-B comparisons. So in many instances, well, in all instances, performers on Little Wonder Records were also the performers with Columbia. So these were not ever recorded by any other performer. So we had Columbia records of the people at around the same time, because obviously in many instances, performers' styles would change over the years. So we'd create a comparison CD of the performers around the time of the record, and then we'd do voice-to-voice comparison, which was the only way we could do this. And we had pretty good ears in the room who could say, oh, notice that this was there and that wasn't there. But it's still all purely subjective.
Right. Because I noticed you have Vernon Dalhart on here.
Yeah.
And he recorded for almost every label.
Right.
And I noticed that he tweaked his voice a little bit sometimes for recordings.
Yeah.
So.
But there we had Jack Palmer, who unfortunately is no longer with us, probably the most noted of all Vernon Dalhart collectors. And he's the one who identified that.
Okay.
For us. So we did as best as we could do in that instance.
All right. Well, that'll be coming up in a little while. Now, you had mentioned also there's a CD coming out of Little Wonder material?
Yeah. There's been lots of requests over the years for me to digitize some of the records in my collection, and I've done a pretty mediocre job on my own website. There's a tab called Music Library.
There's quite a bit of music on there, actually.
There is, but it hasn't been digitized at a very high quality.
Okay.
Because I have, in some ways, not a clue what I'm doing.
Okay.
And so people have wanted to have the experience of the Little Wonder repertoire. And so Archaeophone, in conjunction with the timing of the book, has agreed that it would be really interesting for many people to be exposed to Little Wonder records who hadn't been before in a way that's much easier than a minute and a half at a shot. And so
right.
Probably early next year, a CD of about 50 to 60 Little Wonder tunes is going to be on the market through Archaeophone.
Oh, fantastic. And they do a fantastic job of so many great reissues of period music.
They do. And the liner notes, I'm going to be working on putting in a history of Little Wonder Records. And John Leffert is doing all of the research on the tunes and the performers.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And now, are there still some mysteries to be discovered with Little Wonder Records?
Yeah, there's always mysteries, and I think that's part of what keeps me interested in continuing to collect them.
What's one of your biggest mysteries that you're looking to solve?
I mean, I suppose if you were to say if I could have one thing, it would be company files to really
right.
document which records were in fact manufactured and which ones were not. We just had the experience last week of a collector unearthing one of the numbers in the 1500s. I've probably over the course of the 10 or 12 years I've been collecting them found maybe 100 or so records we didn't know existed.
Right.
But that doesn't mean there aren't, you know, 50, 60, 70 more yet to be uncovered.
Right, because just because you have catalog record number 1310 doesn't mean there's a 1311, even if you have 1313.
Exactly, because the matrix numbers and the record numbers on Little Wonder are identical.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't know whether we don't have a number because it was never used or because we just haven't found it yet.
Do you know whatever happened to the records? Do you know if they
don't know.
Right. You know, if
don't
they were
know.
Destroyed. They're probably destroyed.
It's possible, but I have some leads that I'm following up on, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's the tantalizing possibility.
Well, if anyone has in their possession, in their file cabinet, in their basement, all the written records of the Little Wonder records, contact me at mac@wfmu.org or go on Merle's website, littlewonderrecords.com. Let her know. She surely would appreciate it.
As well as any other piece of anything having to do with Little Wonder Records or Bubble Books.
There you go. So let's continue with some more music now.
Okie doke.
What is going to be next?
Next is a tune called, I just have to put on my glasses actually.
You Ought to See My
You
Baby.
You Ought to See My Baby.
A baby dearer you never saw. Each time I'm near her, I love her more. You ought to see my baby. Oh, what a wonderful baby. People turn as we go by, then wink their eye and say, you lucky devil, there is no other baby ever could tempt me to fall.
them are. She has got an awful lot of you know what. I mean a lot of money. Where do you meet my baby? You see why I had a fall. Now can you blame me? I wanna claim she's the baby of them all.
That was performed by Benny Davis, and the next performer is The Happy Six. Now, the next record, we think, is being sung by Charles Harrison, but I can tell you after listening to many different records, tenors are very, very difficult to tell apart. So we've got Charles Harrison, Sam Ash, and Charles Hart, and even doing A-B comparisons, it is almost impossible to tell them apart after a while. But we think this is Charles Harrison singing Time After Time. The next record is the Vernon Dahlhart record, one of the Vernon Dahlhart records that we were just speaking about, this one called Virginia Blues.
When I left the penny, I never knew how lonesome I would be. But now my tears are falling, Virginia's falling me. And you can see that I've got sympathy. My old mammy's gunning for my returning, waiting for some news. And though I've been a rover, them days are over now. I made a vow I'm going home, never more to roam. I've got them old Virginia blues, the meanest kind of homesick blues. I know my mammy knows.
Woo! This show is keeping me on my toes, cranking and putting in the playlist numbers and everything, keeping me going. Hey, I need to take a moment to let everyone know that next week the Antique Phonograph Music Program will be happening live from Bryant Park in New York City. I'll be having a couple phonographs, and I'll be there playing the show, and it will be broadcast live over the air via the wonders of the tie line internet. So I'll be doing that. So feel free to come out to Bryant Park next week. The music will start at 7, and the broadcast will be from 8 to 9. I'll be there with my phonographs, and please come and say hello. I want to certainly include the sounds of New York City, which will be hard to get away from with open horn phonographs and mics in the park. So that's the Antique Phonograph Music Program live next Tuesday, May 31st, in Bryant Park in Manhattan. And Merle, we're doing it. We're going to get them all in. These 20, what did you bring? 21 22. Records? 22?
22, I think.
So we got to keep on going. Let's keep on going.
Okie doke. So the next one is Poor Little Me by Billy Jones. Little Wonder, 1633. And we're now up to 1922, just 1 year short of the end of Little Wonder's life. That last record is the California Ramblers, which is one of the more interesting and surprising and lovely discoveries of the most recent sound identification. We had known that California Ramblers recorded for Little Wonder, but we didn't know where they were. These particular records hadn't been discovered, and without hearing the records, we weren't sure that they had in fact ever made it into production. So when we found these and listened and discovered they were California Ramblers, it was wonderful, and we think we now have up to 5 and maybe 6 California Ramblers in Little Wonder.
I love,
that was Louis James.
I love songs about communicating with the dead. It's a very tiny, I have about 3 or 4 records that fall into that category, like Mr. Aeroplane Man, Take Me Up to Heaven. There's just very few of them. And that's one of them, yes. Popular song of the period. So, Merle, what in the end happened to Little Wonder Records?
Well, Henry Watterson controlled them until about 1917, 1918, when Columbia took the label back. They had it until 1923, and we're not quite sure at that point, you know, sort of what the very last record was or, in fact, what happened. But probably as a result of, as part of Columbia's bankruptcy in 1923, the label was then just abandoned. Although it still lived in an electric form for the Bubble Books, and there were some personal pressings using Little Wonder blanks, and in some instances using Little Wonder numbering scheme that were being used for other purposes, much like their personal records.
Well, there you go. Well, it's been a pleasure having you here again and steaming through these Little Wonder records tonight in more ways than one, I mean that. Mention everyone, please, also about your new edition of your book that's out that people can find to get more information about Little Wonder Books.
Sure. It's a book co-authored by Tim Brooks and me called Little Wonder Records and Bubble Books, an Illustrated Discography. You can get it through Mainspring Press. The easiest way is to order it from them online at mainspringpress.com. The price is $35, which includes shipping. And then the CD that we mentioned is out, will be out probably early next year from Archaeophone. So you can watch for the announcements on their website. And all the information that I have about Little Wonder Records and any new things that I collect is available on my own website. And you can contact me through that website. There's a contact button. And that website is littlewonderrecords.com.
And what is our last record we're hearing, Merle?
As I race across the room to get the playlist, right. It's by Paul Speck's Orchestra, another one of those interesting finds, because someone knew what Paul Speck's Orchestra really sounded like and could do the A-B comparison, and this one is called Dearest.
All right, folks, thanks. That's another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. I will see you next week in Bryant Park in New York City. Until then, this is your host, Mac, of the Antique Phonograph Music Program, saying nighty-night.
Thank you.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and WFMU.org.